I wonder if you can think of this. I'm going to preach on the subject of three people, three groups of people who will live forever. In your own mind, can you come up with all three of them? There are certainly three in the scriptures that will live forever. What are they? Well, I think the first one is obvious. It's the Lord Jesus. Is there life after death? Is there such a thing as a resurrection from the dead? Some people do not believe in any resurrection from the dead. Like you, I have heard them say things like, when you're dead, you're dead. They say that heaven and hell are here on earth. Are they right? No, they're not right. They are wrong. What does the Bible have to say about this? Well, here's a verse that helps us understand things. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, what this verse does is shows that human opinion regarding spiritual matters cannot be trusted. So what does the Bible have to say about the resurrection from the dead? In this message, I wish to share with you three different resurrections from the dead, which are discussed in the Bible. I'm not speaking about those people like Lazarus who were raised from the dead but who would eventually experience physical death a second time. Rather, I'm speaking of three resurrections where those raised from the dead will never again die physically. The first resurrection discussed in the Bible is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Bible clearly teaches that Christ was raised from the dead. Three things are found in the Bible which indicate that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. The first thing is the statements of the angels at the tomb. Matthew 28, 1 through 6, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment, meaning his clothing, white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers, meaning the guards, remember, guards were stationed there to prevent the disciples from coming and stealing the body. For fear of him, the keepers or the guards did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. That's Matthew at the end of it. At the end of Mark, we read starting in chapter 16, verses 1 through 6. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, this would be the mother of James the Less, also known as Alphaeus, and Salome was the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. These three ladies had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. The idea of anointing Jesus' dead body was to cover up the odor of a decaying body. It shows that they thought he was dead and that they were not expecting him to have been raised from the dead. They had a surprise this morning. And early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. It means they were alarmed or they were scared. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted," which means literally stop being alarmed. "Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." Then in Luke 24, starting in verse 1. "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared." Remember, their intention was to anoint the dead body of Jesus to cover what they expected to be a decaying body and were not expecting him to have been raised from the dead. "And certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them," meaning the angels said unto the women, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. In addition to the statements of the angels at the tomb, a second thing which indicates that Jesus was raised from the dead is the resurrection appearances of Jesus. There's a number of them. We see in John 20, 11 through 18 that Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. But Mary stood without or outside at the sepulchre. She stood outside the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She saith unto him, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Why did she say that? Because she was expecting to find a dead body and had no idea that Jesus had been raised from the dead. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. She might very well have seen somebody there, but didn't pay much attention to him. She certainly wasn't expecting it to be Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, if you've carried him away, tell me where thou hast laid him, tell me where you've put him, and I will take him away. She was looking for Jesus' dead body. And then Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Immediately she recognized him. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, meaning stop clinging to me. For I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Well, Mary Magdalene wasn't the only one to whom Jesus appeared. In Matthew 28, 9 and 10, we see that Jesus appeared to the women. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, meaning Jesus met Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Less, and Salome, the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, saying, All hail, which means greetings or rejoice. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. They were afraid. It means stop being afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. But you know, it wasn't just to Mary Magdalene and to these other women. Jesus also appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. That's 60 furlongs, or you might better understand, about 7 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, meaning their eyes were restrained that they should not know him. In other words, it was divinely done so that they would not recognize him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these? What kind of conversation is this that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Excuse me. And he, meaning Jesus, said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which, or who, was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. It means we trusted that he was the Messiah. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Sounds like they didn't know what to make of the testimony of these ladies. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Sounds like they still didn't quite believe it. Was too good to be true. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, that goes all the way back to the beginning of the Old Testament, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Well, they had a walk of about 7 miles. They had some time to go through some scriptures. And they drew nigh, meaning they drew near unto the village whither or where they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry, meaning to stay with them. And it came to pass as he sat at meat, meaning as he sat at the table with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And all of a sudden, their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And of course, I'm not going to read the rest of that story, but they went back to Jerusalem, 7 miles home, 7 miles back. And they met with the apostles in that upper room. And they happened to have been there when Jesus appeared that night, that evening. Additional eyewitnesses of Christ's resurrection from the dead are listed in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And the idea there of unless ye have believed in vain is that some in Corinth were doubting the resurrection. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, meaning seen by Peter, then of or then by the 12. After that he was seen of or he was seen by above or more than 500 brethren at once. That's even more people than we can fit in our auditorium, isn't it? Of whom the greater part remain unto this day. Most of them are still alive, and you can go talk to them if you want to. But some are fallen asleep, meaning some have died. After that, he was seen of or seen by James. Then then he was seen by all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of, or he was seen by me, meaning Paul, also, as of one born out of due time. In this passage in 1 Corinthians 15, we see that Jesus was seen by Cephas or Peter. There's no other reference in the New Testament to this viewing. We also see that Jesus was seen by the 12 on the night of the resurrection, and again a week later. John 20, 19 through 25, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, they weren't just shut, they were also barred or locked, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. How did he get in there? A locked door was no problem to him. He just appeared there. And saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. they at least received enough of the Holy Spirit at this point in time on the night of the resurrection to carry them through until Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came on all the believers. Whosoever sins ye remit, you forgive. They are remitted or forgiven them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Don't get too excited about that. This isn't giving the Pope the privilege of forgiving sins, all right? When they announced that Jesus died on the cross to pay for the sins of all humanity, and they tell people that if you'll believe this, your sins will be forgiven. And if somebody doesn't believe it, you'll be able to say to them, your sins are not forgiven. Realize, they're just proclaiming the gospel and announcing the results of what happens, whether the people believe or don't believe. It isn't that they had personal power to retain sins for somebody or to forgive sins for somebody else. I know that's what is taught elsewhere. It is not what is taught here. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus. Didymus, what's that mean? Twin. Okay, maybe you'd think of ditto. Twin. Was not with them when Jesus came. He missed the first Sunday evening service. It pays to be in the Sunday evening services, doesn't it? You might get a blessing. But he missed a blessing that first Sunday evening. The other disciples therefore said unto Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. Well, a week later, Jesus showed up again. Jesus appeared a week later again to the disciples. This time, however, Thomas was present with the rest of them. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, reach here your finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, reach here your hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Now, whether Thomas actually did what he said, we don't know. But Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That sounds very much like you and me, doesn't it? We've not seen him, but we believe. And many other signs or miracles. Truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these, there are seven miracles recorded in John's gospel, are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah, the Son of God, that's God the Son, and that believing ye might have life through his name. In case you're not aware of it, verses 30 and 31 are the key verses in John's gospel. And then we go back into the text of 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8. We see that Jesus was seen by above 500 brethren at once. 500 people saw Jesus alive from the dead, all at the same time. It's not reported elsewhere in Scripture. Jesus was then seen by James. Now, there's several men named James. Which James is it? It's his half-brother, James, the son of Mary and Joseph, who became the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. This actual appearance of James, or to James, is not found in a particular passage, but James is seen with the believers on the day of Christ's ascension. In Acts 1, 9 through 14, we read, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Was this a cloudy day? Or was this a cloud of believers, of angels? We're not sure what the cloud was comprised of, but probably was not a cloudy day. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And they then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, who was also known as Nathanael, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, that's James the Less, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren, or with his brothers. James was one of Jesus' brothers. In addition, we've already seen it, but Paul refers to it, Jesus was seen by all the apostles. Paul has reiterated this for the Corinthian believers in 1 Corinthians. Finally, Jesus was seen by Paul. Of course, this occurred on the road to Damascus. In Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way," meaning found any who believed that Jesus was the Messiah, "whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am." Those words are significant. "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, to kick against the goads. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord." He recognized that Jesus was indeed the I Am of the Old Testament, the Lord. "What wilt thou have me to do?" He got saved, and he got surrendered that instant. "And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Well, in addition to the statements of the angels at the tomb and the resurrection appearances of Jesus to various people, a third thing which indicates that Jesus was really raised from the dead is the willingness of the eyewitnesses to die for what they saw. Every one of the apostles except John was martyred, and efforts were made to kill him, and we don't know that he really wasn't eventually martyred either. They were willing to die for what they had seen. Clearly, Jesus was raised from the dead. The statements of the angels that he was raised from the dead, the resurrection appearances, and the fact that the eyewitnesses were willing to die for what they saw, these things all indicate that Jesus was raised from the dead. And we believe that too, don't we? The second resurrection discussed in the Bible, which I wish to share with you, is the resurrection of believers from the dead. Not only does the Bible teach that Christ was raised from the dead, the Bible also teaches that all believers will be raised from the dead. So if you are a believer, and I believe most of you are, if not all of you, you will one day be raised from the dead. In order to go to heaven, you must believe not only that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins, but you must also believe in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And if you don't believe those two things, you're not on your way to heaven. Doesn't matter what you think. I've told you what the Bible teaches. Those who are saved will someday be raised from the dead and taken to heaven, and this, of course, will occur at the rapture. But Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This verse clearly indicates that those who reject the resurrection of Jesus from the dead are not on their way to heaven. Of course, I've said that this resurrection will occur at the rapture, which we read about in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. That's the church in the United States of America. That's the fastest and largest growing church in the world. It is the church of the ignorant brethren. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, meaning concerning those believers who are dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Yes, when a loved one who is saved passes into eternity, we sorrow, but not for them. We sorrow for ourselves. I wasn't sad when my wife died. I prayed that the Lord would take her. She was suffering. She was struggling with dementia. And I was happy for her because I knew where she was going to be. I knew that instantly all of her problems were over. She was in the presence of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean I wasn't sad. I rejoiced for her, but I felt sorry for myself because I was now without her. So we sorrow, but not like the unsaved crowd where they have no hope for that loved one who has died. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we do, even so them also which sleep or who have died in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, meaning will not precede them. We will have no advantage over them which are asleep, meaning over those believers who have died. Yes, it'd be nice to see the rapture, wouldn't it? But it would be nice to go now too, wouldn't it, even before the rapture, and be done with all the sinfulness that we've experienced. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We look forward to it, don't we? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, as a believer, dying prior to the rapture is not a bad thing. It's God's will for most believers. And we will be happy with the result of it. So we've seen two resurrections where the people will live forever. What's the third one? Well, that's what we're going to look at now. The third resurrection discussed in the Bible, which I wish to share with you, is the resurrection of unbelievers from the dead. Not only does the Bible teach that Christ was raised from the dead and never experienced a second death, and that all believers will be raised from the dead and will never experience a second death, the Bible teaches that all unbelievers will be raised from the dead and will never experience a second death in that they will never cease to exist. I need to explain that as we go through this because there is something referred to as the second death, but it does not mean that they cease to exist. There is another resurrection mentioned in the Bible. It's the resurrection of the unsaved dead. No one should desire to be part of this resurrection. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15 detail this. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. No place for the heaven and the earth. That's why there'll be new heavens and new earth in chapter 21. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, not the book of life, but in the books, according to their works. And what will their works demonstrate? That they were unsaved and deserved to spend eternity in hell. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. How did God get them back from the fish that ate them and then got eaten by other fish and by other fish and by other fish? No problem for God. He knows right where every particle has gone. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell, meaning death and Hades, that's the temporary hell where people go that are unsaved at death. That group is raised from the dead at the great white throne judgment, and they were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, the lake of fire is also known as Gehenna. Although they're being cast into the lake of fire is referred to as the second death, it does not mean that they will cease to exist. The fact is they will never cease to exist. They will continue to exist forever and ever, but it will be in the lake of fire while being tormented forever and ever. Revelation 14, 10 and 11 say, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night to worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. But then 2 Thessalonians broadens this. Who shall be punished with everlasting, meaning eternal or never-ending destruction, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. I know there are some people that believe that they're going to get tossed into hell and that they will be consumed or burned up. They're not scriptural. The Bible teaches that everyone will eventually be resurrected from the dead. Whether you believe in the resurrection from the dead or whether you don't makes no difference. It's going to happen. Saved people will be raised and will experience eternal bliss in heaven. Unsaved people will be raised and will experience eternal hell in the lake of fire. Everyone will live forever, including those who don't believe in the resurrection. They will either be resurrected in what is described as the first resurrection and spend eternity in heaven, or they will be resurrected at the great white throne judgment and spend eternity in hell, where they will suffer for their sins because of their refusal to accept Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. When is it that you are going to be resurrected? Will it be with the believers? Or will it be with the unbelievers? Did you know that in order to go to hell, you don't have to do anything? You don't even have to believe in hell to go there. If you don't believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead, you will go to hell after you die. It's automatic. Be certain that you are genuinely saved by receiving Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, and that you will therefore participate in the first resurrection. Remember that Jesus died on the cross, and in his death on the cross, he paid for all the sins that you have ever committed or ever will commit. Those who go to hell are those who reject his sacrifice for their sins. Those who go to heaven are those who accept his sacrifice for their sins. Which group are you in? And what does the way you are living say about the resurrection you will be participating in? If you are not really living for the Lord, but only put on this appearance when you're in church, are you really certain that you have been genuinely saved? By their fruit ye shall know them. What does your fruit say about your salvation? Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the Bible and the biblical teaching about Jesus and his death on the cross, where he paid for our sins and satisfied the wrath that you had against us. I pray that each one here, as well as each one who's listening to this over the internet, will understand the gospel and believe in the Lord Jesus and his death on the cross for their sins and his subsequent resurrection from the dead. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.